my apologies to our Senate colleagues. We were passing the higher ed budget on the House floor, so now we're ready to dive in. Budget bills reported out of subcommittee. Senate Bill 5522. Senator Bates, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5522 is the budget bill for the 6th Legislative Branch agencies, Legislative Administration, Legislative Assembly, Legislative Council, Legislative Physical, Legislative Revenue, and the Commission on Indian Services. The general fund budget of $75,206,167 and total funds budget of $81,559,919 is a 12.48% increase above the essential budget level. The budget provides for continuation of current operations, selected investments in additional staff and staff salaries, technology, and facilities. These investments include increasing the interim resources for members sufficient to hire a full-time staff person during the interim, additional staff resources and funding for the permanent staff offices, funds for priority technology infrastructure items and projects, continuation of the Oregon Channel, and funds to develop a master facilities plan for the Capitol. Also included in the bill is funding in the amount of $50,000 for the Council on Court Procedures as discussed in the Public Safety Subcommittee. The subcommittee discussed the Capitol Renovation Project, but funding for the project is included in a different bill. The General Government Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5522 be amended and be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Other bills reported out of subcommittee. House Bill 2067 relating to fire protection of forests. Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you. House Bill 2067 extends to July 1, 2009, the temporary increase in the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund to maintain the existing structure under which forest landowners in the state share the cost of fighting large wildfires on lands protected by the Department of Forestry. This measure maintains the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund expenditure limit from at $15 million. The measure also specifies that a landowner or operator is liable for fire abatement costs or penalties if they fail to obtain a permit for the use of fire or power-driven machinery, and adds the term emergency in describing the fire costs that meet a deductible before the fire protection district can be reimbursed for firefighting costs from the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund. The subcommittee acknowledged a potential risk to the state general fund if the current funding mechanism is not extended. Committee subcommittee recommends House Bill 2067 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Senator Devlin.
Madam Chairman, I might indicate that in this bill and in the bill after it, the industry has indicated that they support both bills.
Thank you for the information, and thank you for your good work to make that result happen. Anybody else? Discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. House Bill 2115, relating to forest products harvest taxation. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2115 extends the temporary harvest tax to forest products harvested in calendar years 2008 and 2009. Revenue from harvest tax are used to support forest research through the Oregon State University's Forest Research Laboratory to partially fund forest practices, forest fire suppression, and forestry assistance to non-industrial landowners through the Department of Forestry and to finance the Oregon Forest Resources Institute. The bill maintains the current 50-cent rate that generates funds for payments of benefits related to fire suppression. The Natural Resources Subcommittee approved increasing the harvest tax rates from 67 cents per 1,000 board feet for the research laboratory to 92 cents per 1,000 board feet, and from 59 cents per 1,000 board feet to forest practices to $1.50 14.56 per 1,000 board feet. The rates are repealed on December 31st, 2009. The harvest tax rates are set at a level to coordinate with the agency-approved budgets and projected harvest levels. The Department of Forestry projects 4 billion board feet will be harvested in calendar years 2008-2009. The Natural Resources Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2115 be amended, reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Any objections?
None.
Motion carries. House Bill 2153, relating to statutes of limitations on certain sex crimes. Representative Hanna, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2153 will eliminate the statute of limitations on certain sex crimes in which the DNA has been preserved and its characteristics can be tested. Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2153A be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. House Bill 2208, relating to benefits for performing military service. Representative Hume.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2208 expands the state educational support to veterans to provide a $100 monthly stipend to those attending an approved part-time course of study or professional training. Current law provides for a $150 monthly stipend only to those attending school full-time. $54,000 has already been provided in the Department of Veterans Affairs budget for this change of law. Your subcommittee amended the bill to keep the fiscal impact within the $54,000 by changing the monthly amounts to those in the original bill and removing language that made the educational benefits an entitlement. Your Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends House Bill 2208 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion? Senator Whitsitt, please.
Thank you, Chair Coach Norman. I voted no against this in committee in protest of the reduction. I will support it today, but I still believe that the original amount was a much better thing for the situation.
Thank you, Senator. Any other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, carries. House Bill 2331, relating to courts. Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2331 incorporates the provisions of Senate Bill 279 and makes a number of changes to filing fees, including equalizing plaintiff and respondent fees. The bill establishes a temporary filing fee surcharge for the 2007-09 biennium to fund the cost of an interim legislative committee on court facilities. It also enables the Chief Justice to establish fees for filing a motion and a response and increases the collections payment plan fee. The bill includes a $600,000 general fund appropriation for an interim legislative committee on court facilities, which will report on standards for reasonable and sufficient court facilities. An additional $600,000 general fund will be appropriated to the emergency board for related costs. The bill also includes $150,000 general fund for an interim legislative committee on court technology to evaluate the technology transition plan of the Judicial Department and to make recommendations on the strategic plan, deliverables, costs, funding mechanisms, and oversight of the technology initiatives of the department. The end of session appropriation bill will include a grant to the Judicial Department of $700,000 general fund for legal aid costs during the 2007-09 biennium. These costs will be paid out of fee increases in future biennia. There is a budget note that requests an interim committee to study and make recommendations on law library fees and how the funds are used. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 2331 be amended and reported out. Do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Any objections? Representative Morgan. Motion carries. House Bill 2406, relating to home care for medically involved children. Representative Garrard, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. There are many children in Oregon with complex and disabling medical conditions who require around-the-clock care. To qualify for Medicaid assistance, these children must either be placed in foster care or in nursing homes, or their families must have very low household incomes or assets. Some of the families in which these children live have impoverished themselves in order to access Medicaid services. Other families are attempting to keep their children at home by providing the care themselves. To partially address this situation, House Bill 2406A creates a medically involved home care program in the Department of Human Services for children with significant disabilities who require complex medical care. The measure directs the Department of Human Services to seek Medicaid waivers for the program from the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS. The waiver request will be modeled on other Medicaid waivers that have already been granted by CMS for other states. The measure requires DHS to enroll no fewer than 125 children beginning January 1, 2008, and 25 more children each calendar year thereafter, to the maximum number of children allowed under the terms of the federal waiver, 200 children in total. Funding for this measure, about $1.4 million general fund, along with federal matching funds, has been included in the DHS budget bill. The Subcommittee on Human Services recommends HB 2406A be reported out, do pass.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. House Bill 2524, relating to healthcare facility acquired infections. Senator Bates, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 2524 requires healthcare facilities to collect data on healthcare facility acquired infection rates. It also establishes the Oregon Healthcare Acquired Infection Reporting Program in the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research. The bill was passed out of the House Committee on Healthcare and referred to Ways and Means because of the fiscal impact. The subcommittee amended the bill to provide $201,000 general fund appropriation for staff and expenses necessary to implement the program. The Subcommittee on Human Services recommends House Bill 2524 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. House Bill 2918, relating to health benefit plan coverage of pervasive developmental disorder. Representative Nathanson, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 2918 requires health benefit plans to cover treatment of pervasive developmental disorders subject to the same conditions as treatment of physical illness and directs the Health Resources Commission to review medical and behavioral health evidence on the treatment of pervasive developmental disorders and report findings to the 75th Legislative Assembly. The requirement is expected to increase the cost of medical insurance for state employees by 40 cents per month per employee. State employee benefit packages are negotiated annually with a January 1 effective date. The Legislative Assembly typically establishes an appropriation to the Emergency Board to provide funding to state agencies for incremental fiscal impacts associated with collective bargaining agreements that are not completed by the close of session. The increased cost of medical insurance coverage can be covered for state agencies as part of the distribution of this appropriation. The subcommittee adopted an amendment to limit coverage to children under 18, to limit coverage to provision of health benefit plans, and to clarify the definition of rehabilitation services. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 2918 be amended and reported out do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I am going to provide a yes vote at this forum to move this bill ahead, but I would reserve the opportunity to continue studying it.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I was a no vote in the subcommittee on this bill, but I have gotten the information that I was lacking at that point, and I'm happy to support the bill now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Any objections? Senator Whitsitt? Motion passes. House Bill 3054, relating to legal impediments to employment. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 3054 appropriates $275,000 to the Department of Administrative Services for payment to the Independent Development Enterprise Alliance, which operates Project Clean Slate, to develop and execute a plan to support community-based programs that assist underserved individuals in removing legal impediments to employment. The bill originally appropriated $600,000 to DAS, placed responsibility for development and execution of the plan with the department. The subcommittee amended the bill to reduce the appropriation to $275,000 and clarify that the department's responsibility is to disperse the funds to the Independent Development Enterprise Alliance for it to develop and execute the plan. The amendment also requires periodic reports to the appropriate Legislative Judiciary Committee. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 3054 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Representative, any discussion? Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I understand the intent of this bill, and I appreciate it very much. I'm not able to support it today, however, because one of the themes of the work that we've done in the economic development budget was to try to attach performance measures. And at this point, I don't know exactly what it is we're buying, and nor do I know how the success will be measured. And given the heavy emphasis that we have put on other programs to be able to provide measurable outcomes, I just don't feel I can support the bill for those reasons, not the goals of the underlying goals of the bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This bill did come to our committee. I was a no in committee, again, not based on the intended outcome of the bill, but it had no fiscal, no performance measurement. It even potentially as described by the person who was testifying, it even potentially had a revenue impact based on on allowing people to mitigate charges and fees and so forth. We weren't able to come up with what that number was. I still don't think we have that information, and I'll be a no today as well.
Thank you. Further discussion? Given that we're down a couple members and about to lose one other, I'm going to hold this one off for a few minutes. We've got a member who's got to carry a bill on the floor. So we'll hold off on this vote and move to the next bill. House Bill 3083, relating to minors. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 3083 permits a person with legal custody of a minor to settle a claim on behalf of the minor without court approval if the amount of the claim is $25,000 or less. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that House Bill 3083A be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 4, relating to nursing. Senator Devlin, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 4A declares a shortage of nurses and nursing faculty. With the nursing shortage declaration to remain in effect until suspended by the governor by executive order. The bill authorizes the Oregon Center for Nursing and the Oregon Healthcare Workforce Institute to advise the State Workforce Investment Board, the Joint Boards of Education, and other entities regarding education and workforce issues related to nurses and related to doctors, dentists, and allied health professionals, respectively. The Center and the Institute are also authorized to work together to develop comprehensive solutions to Oregon's healthcare workforce shortages. The bill also allows retired members of the public employees' retirement system to work in excess of the 1,500 40-hour annual employment limit if they are working for a public employer as a nurse or for the purpose of teaching nursing, and authorizes public employers to offer benefit plans through the Public Employees Benefit Board to nurses and nursing educators employed less than half-time. The subcommittee approved $800,000 general appropriation to the Department of Administrative Service for a one-time distribution to the Oregon Center for Nursing to carry out the purposes assigned by this bill. The Education Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 4A be amended by the -A14 amendments and reported out due past as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? Senator Berger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I have a question of the carrier. Was it discussed in committee to have the grants available to anyone in a nursing program in Oregon? We have, I have two in my district, and I was just curious about that.
I might bring Mr. Bender forward. I'm not sure that the bill is a scaled down version from the earlier bill.
Yes, I noticed that.
Madam Chair and members, there was no discussion of that particular question in the subcommittee. The bill does provide funding to the Oregon Consortium of Nursing and not to directly to any nursing programs, any nursing education programs.
All right. I'm sorry. Does it not go to just the one nursing program at the Oregon Health and Sciences? That's
the funding is provided to the Oregon Center for Nursing, which is a nonprofit organization that is working to develop solutions to the nursing shortage in Oregon.
Another follow-up?
Yes, Senator, please.
So does that mean that the grants would be available to anyone in a nursing program throughout the state of Oregon?
My understanding is that the center intends to use these funds for research purposes and not for purposes of providing grants to nursing programs.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Further discussion? Senator Nelson, please.
Thank you. I think the 2003 session, Senate Bill 800 developed a nursing program that wasn't funded because we didn't have any funds at the time, but there was a whole series of nursing organizations and teaching institutions that got together and basically made this thing work. So I think this is an outgrowth of that program. So it's been a very successful program. We have mobile units going around the state now, and there's a lot of people that came together to make this work. So I think this appropriation is an extension of that. It's been a very successful program.
Thank you. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. What I might state also is in our discussions in the Education Subcommittee, I think it's been pretty clear over the course of those discussions, we've made significant investments in community colleges and nursing programs, significant investments in OHSU and nursing programs, and significant investments in OUS and nursing programs. And we are about to probably make significant investments in capital, potentially, in community colleges for nursing programs and related fields. And it's felt that the work that this center does has been very beneficial to those efforts and very beneficial to us long-term addressing the issue of a workforce shortage, and particularly in nursing, and particularly addressing it in two ways, by allowing some very experienced nurses to come back into the field while we try to put in place a more solid basis for nursing education in the state, both in the terms of nurses being educated, particularly in specialized field, and also one of our greatest shortages, although it may not be as many number, is it takes faculty to teach nurses. And that's one of our greatest shortages, and this might help us in that effort.
Thank you. Further discussion? Any objections? Did you want to discuss? Okay. Objections? Seeing none, motion carries.
Madam Co-Chair, I don't know if I have to do this or not, but I'd like to declare a potential conflict of interest because my wife is a family nurse practitioner.
It will be noted. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, if he's going to do it, I need to do the same thing. My spouse is a family nurse practitioner.
Okay, thanks. noted for the record. Colleagues, can we back up just a second and extend a few courtesies to our colleagues? Representative Jensen asks unanimous consent to be allowed to vote on Senate Bill 5522. He was conducting other business when we voted on that bill. Is there any objection? Representative, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Thank you. One other courtesy, colleagues. Representative Hannah asks unanimous consent to change his vote on House Bill 2331. It will not affect the outcome. Is there an objection? Representative Hannah, how do you vote?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I vote no.
Thank you. Okay. Senate Bill 157 relating to Home Care Commission. Oops, we'll skip that one. Our carrier is... Would you mind, Representative Morgan?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. In 2000, the voters passed Ballot Measure 99, creating the Oregon Home Care Commission. This commission has four primary responsibilities, including defining the qualifications of home care workers who serve Medicaid and Oregon Project Independence clients, maintaining a statewide registry of home care workers, providing training for home care workers, collectively bargaining for home care workers whose pay comes from public funds. Senate Bill 157 attempts to allow the commission to operate more independently than it has since its creation. The measure allows the Commission to enter into interagency agreements or contracts with state agencies and to arrange for compensation and health coverage for home care workers. The bill directs the Commission and the Department of Human Services to confer about the necessary budget to operate the Commission and requires the Department to include this budget in the Governor's budget request to the Legislative Assembly. Senate Bill 157 allows the Home Care Commission to contract with DHS to provide staff support and carry out duties and functions of the Commission. The Subcommittee on Human Services recommends Senate Bill 157A be amended and reported out do pass as amended.
Well done. Thank you, Representative. Any discussion? Senator Morris.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A question, and it's not fair to the carrier, but maybe staff could come forward. In previous discussions about this commission and the employees, the home care workers, as with respect to the issue, are they independent employees or are they state employees? And my question specifically would be directed to language in the bill. Does this create the nexus to where these employees will become state employees rather than independent employees? And with respect specifically to language on page 2, line 41 and 42, members of the commission are officers of the state, and the commission is a state commission. Okay, very clearly stated. Then on page 3, lines 21, 2, 3, and 25 and 6, the commission may delegate to the executive director the authority to act on behalf of the commission to carry out its duties and responsibilities, including but not limited to, and line 25, taking reasonable or necessary actions related to the commissioner's role as employer of record for home care workers.
Mr. Clinton?
Madam Chair, I can't answer that question. I simply do not know the answer to it. The intent of the bill, as I understand it, was to create some independence for this commission, which was the original intent included in Ballot Measure 99. This does not create a new state agency, and these workers are not, as I understand it, employees of the state of Oregon. But that's about as far as my understanding goes, Senator. I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, yes. As a follow-up, you know, this is a pretty broad policy issue, and that do we wish these workers to become state employees? That's the basic fundamental question. And that therein lies my question with respect to the language that sets the stage for them to become state employees in the event of some type of a legal action that's filed. We did ask for, in a previous interim committee, an opinion from legislative counsel with respect to the status of these employees. and our conclusion was that they were not state employees. And so I just raised that issue. You know, what this bill does, I think, you know, I don't have a problem with it, but it sets the stage, I fear, for 13 or 14,000 workers becoming state employees.
Senator, I can't answer your question. Senator Schrader?
Yeah, just to give you what I can add to the record, it doesn't really change the status of the workers. What it does change is the relationship of the department to the commission, which currently, according to the director of Department of Human Services, is unconstitutional, you know, given the measure that was passed by the boards of the state of Oregon. So all we're doing here is trying to correct the basic relationship between the department and the commission itself to make sure it's viable. There was discussion about creating a separate agency, and that was clearly not the intent and not permissible, if you will, under this particular aegis. So it's just merely to define a relationship so the department and the commission can operate within the confines of the Constitution of the State of Oregon.
If I might follow up with a statement.
Yes, Senator.
Therefore, it is not the intent of this bill to create a connection which then leads to state employee status. That is not the intent of this bill.
That would be correct.
Yes, sir. Someone from the department's here. Do you need any further clarification? No.
Madam Chair.
Senator? Senator Johnson?
I would welcome that additional clarification, given that the professional staff was unsure, and not that I doubt Senator Schrader. I just would like to hear it build a better record.
Thank you.
For the record, I'm Patricia O'Sullivan. I'm the Director of Public Policy for the Department of Human Services. And with me is, go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Cheryl Sanders. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Home Care Commission.
Senator Morris, chairs, I want to start out by telling you first that there's actually three entities here. There's a Home Care Commission. Those are volunteers appointed. Then there's five or six staff that work for the Home Care Commission to do their administrative work, to do the work that needs to be done. Then there are home care workers. This bill in no way makes home care workers state employees. Absolutely not. The five people that work for the commission, however, the Constitution laid it out and said that those five workers that work for the commission can't be state employees. That everybody that's involved in this entire thing understand that that's not what was meant to happen, but it was the way the ballot measure was written. So what we had to do was sort of divorce those two things. So that you now have the commission, and the commission now has the right to contract with somebody for employees. They happen to contract now with SPD, with DHS, to actually have the same five employees doing the work. The employees work for us, and we contract an interagency agreement with the commission to provide those services. So the commission actually has no direct employees. They contract by interagency agreement with us for that work. So it's kind of convoluted because of the piece in the Constitution that says they can't employ state employees. So it's very convoluted, but it was the only way the Attorney General and everybody could figure out how to do this and continue the work of the commission.
Madam Chair, and I apologize for continuing.
It's important for us to understand this.
Okay, this discussion. And my question specifically would be with respect to lines 25 and 26 on page 3, which is new language in the statute relating to the commission's role as employer of record for home care workers. My question is, does that create a sufficient nexus that makes those workers, therefore, state employees?
Chairs, Senator Morris, that is not the intention, and we don't believe it does. What we believe that language does is allow the Home Care Commission to bargain for those employees, but they are not state employees.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair, for indulging this discussion.
Any further discussion?
Do I need to carry this one over, or are we okay?
Any objections? Seeing none.
Madam Chair, I raise this issue not to stop this bill, but I raise the issue to make the record abundantly clear with respect to what the intent of this bill is, and that it not be expanded beyond that without the intentional decision of this body to make that decision, not left to the courts. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, and I think you've made that record.
Representative Dolan, can I just throw in one thing?
Yes.
The Constitution also makes it clear that they are not public employees, the home care workers themselves.
Thank you.
Thank you for doing that. Senator Johnson?
Given the lateness of the session, I'm not sure that we have the option to make this language clearer, but it certainly makes me anxious, even with the good record that's laid down here, to have the professional staff have questions about it. And I feel very reticent about passing forward a bill with any ambiguity in it. It's not my intention to slow the bill down, but I don't think being close to the end of the session is an excuse for us to be moving forward bills that could have significant policy implications that there is not abundant clarity about. And it's just worrisome to me. I appreciate Senator Morris putting down the record that he did, and I guess I would be prepared to support the bill because I have the record that was put down here. But it this close to the end of the session, I'm not sure we're as precise as we should be.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Devlin.
Madam Co-Chair, I just wanted to get a clarification, just memory-wise. The Home Care Commission and home care workers, you made reference to the Constitution, and I think you're making reference to the initiative that passed.
Okay.
And in that initiative passed, if my memory is correct, they were clearly not defined as state employees.
That's correct. That is absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
So...
As Ms. O'Sullivan said, the Constitution trumps. And the Constitution says that the home care workers themselves are not state employees. So, Senator Morris, that means that not only would it require action by this body, it would require action by the voters to change that status.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? I want to make sure people have a chance to understand this. It's important to raise those issues and put that record down. Any objections? Seeing none. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senate Bill 235 relating to air quality. Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you. This bill is known affectionately as the Derriere bill.
careful.
As aptly named by our committee administrator, Paul Siegert. And it has to do basically with which would require the Department of Environmental Quality and the Department of Agriculture to enter into a memorandum of understanding to allow the Department of Agriculture to administer and enforce air quality laws that apply to agricultural operations. Under current state law, agricultural operations are exempt from federal clean air requirements, and if operations remain exempt, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency may place sanctions on the state federally delegated clean air program, and there was some discussion about that. The subcommittee amended the bill to create a Derriere quality task force. The task force is to look at the issues. Thanks, Paul. Surrounding air emissions from dairy air operations and evaluate alternatives for reducing emissions. The task force is to report to an appropriate interim legislative committee no later than October 1st, 2008 on its findings. The Natural Resource Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 235 as amended be reported out, do pass.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Johnson? Did you have a question?
I love this bill.
I love the way Paul wrote it, too.
I'm sure that Mr. Siebert should have an opportunity to answer questions about this bill. Any discussion? Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to state for the record that
Senator Avakian has done a great deal of work on this, and I know he has worked also with the co-chairs on this bill. An amendment that was offered in the Senate committee, a dash one amendment, split the interests on this bill and created parties to be opposed to it. The dash tens that were adopted in my subcommittee have brought all those interests back together, and I believe everybody is supporting the bill at this point.
Pretty close.
Everybody that took an active interest, let's say, in the dash 10 amendments.
Many interests.
Particularly the dairy industry is supportive.
Yes, and many interests who had previously opposed it have come together, but I don't know that it's accurate to say every group that has a concern about this bill or an interest is supportive. Senator Bates.
Yeah, a question to Carrie real quick.
Sure.
I might be saying about dairy air, okay? This is a bill we kind of screwed up in committee, to be honest about, and there was a real conflict that first committee about it, and behind it, which we did not know, I shouldn't say that phrase, I guess, was that if we didn't get this thing resolved, that the federal government was coming in and take over the air quality programs for the state, and we want that to stay in state hands and DEQ. So I'm assuming this takes care of that.
It does, yes.
Thank you.
Senator Wessel?
I've been.
Did you have your hand up? Further discussion? Senator Nelson?
I should just also make for the record one other point is that one of the largest dairy farms is in my district, Three Mile Farms, and through a labor complaint that was filed by some of the workers out there, the federal OSHA came out and made a study of air quality. And the results of that study were basically, and I think there was two chemicals, and I can't remember offhand what they were, two potential toxics. And the result of that federal air OSHA air study was that the real problem in that part of the country was dust, and that whatever the emissions were within federal limits. So that there has already been a study made in that particular thing, but they're still concerned about it, and so I think this bill solves that problem.
Thank you, Senator. Any other discussion? Any objections? Seeing none? Well done, Senator. Who's going to be Senator Winters? Senate Bill 456 relating to salaries of elected officials. Senator Westland, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 456 is the bill that enacts judicial salary adjustments that were funded in the Oregon Judicial Department budget bill. Salaries were adjusted by 14% on July 1, 2007, and an additional 3% on July 1, 2008. Language was added to disconnect the judicial and legislative salaries. Your Public Safety Subcommittee recommends that Senate Bill 456 be amended and reported out to pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. I appreciate you stepping up for that one. Discussion. Representative Girard, please.
Question of Carrier. Since the salaries presently of the legislature are tied to the judges, does this bill give each legislator a raise in salary?
No.
That's why they are disconnected.
You would have done 24. The bill has a disconnect. A delinking.
Madam Chair,
I wanted to get that on record.
Yes, Senator Devlin, please.
My last comment, actually, of this session of Ways and Means, this is just not at all.
Oh, that. Okay.
Levity. Is the Senate co-chair's vote on this a courtesy vote?
I'm a giver, man. I'm a...
Okay.
Is there further discussion? Any objections? Senator?
No.
Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 461. And before I actually move to that, I will call your attention, colleagues, We have posted another bill for 6:45 if we are still here. It looks like we may be, to accommodate some staff and paper flow as well as agenda issues. House Bill 3551, the material will be here shortly, and we will give people time to pay attention to that bill before we vote on it. Senate Bill 461, relating to low-income electric bill payment assistance. Senator Verger, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee brings you Senate Bill 461. This bill increases the statutory cap on collections by Portland General Electric and PacifiCorp for low-income bill payment assistance from $10 million per year to $15 million. The program was enacted as part of electric utility deregulation legislation by the 1999 legislature. It is funded with other funds via a monthly meter charge. Electric companies transfer the revenue to the Housing and Community Services Department, which makes special payments to approximately 19 local community action agencies, which may be either county governments or local nonprofit agencies. These agencies disperse funds to eligible individuals based on income criteria. This bill would have a revenue impact of approximately $7.6 million during the 07-09 biennium and $10.9 million during the 9-11 biennium. The additional funding, when combined with federal funds, will provide assistance payments to approximately 23% of the income-eligible population, rather than 20% of the population, which could be served in absence of the increase in collection. There is no administrative expense to the Housing and Community Services Department as a result of the bill. The subcommittee amended the bill to provide the necessary expenditure limitation to the department to enable the pass-through of the additional revenue. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends that Senate Bill 461 be reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? Representative Garrard.
Just to declare a potential conflict of interest, Madam Co-Chair, I serve on the board of a nonprofit organization that serves low-income people in this regard. So.
Okay. Thank you. We'll note that for the record. Further discussion, Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, I would declare the same conflict, potential conflict. I serve on the board of an agency that provides this assistance.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any other discussion? Any objections? Senator Whitsitt objects. Motion carries. Senate Bill 474, relating to state financial administration. Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Co-Chair Nolan. Senate Bill 474 requires that during regular legislative sessions, the co-chairs of Ways and Means must propose and the Legislative Assembly adopt a resolution establishing a spending target agreement for the following biennium. If the resolution is not adopted by March 31st, the legislature would be prohibited from enacting any other legislation during the regular session. The legislature may not spend more or less than the spending agreement, but does allow for modification of the agreement under specific circumstances. The spending target agreement would be required to allocate by percentage the amount of general fund and lottery fund for each of the six subcommittees of the Joint Committees on Ways and Means, as well as for the emergency fund, and for rewards to state agencies for implementing improvement plans. The bill also requires the government to specify a spending target for general fund and lottery funds in the governor's recommended budget and requires budget representations of all state agencies of all branches of government to include performance measures, prioritized list of services, and plans for improvements in agency operation. The General Government Subcommittee recommends SB 474 be reported out due pass.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion other than what a fabulous bill this is?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Any further discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senate Bill 566 relating to transportation. Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Senate Bill 566 requires the Joint Interim Committee on Transportation to investigate, analyze, and evaluate funding options, modification or expansion of statutes relating to transportation, evaluate the creation of regional transportation utility districts, analyze the return on investment of the Oregon Department of Transportation-owned real estate, and the committee will report its findings to the Legislative Assembly no later than January the 1st, 2009. ODOT is directed to support the committee and the Legislative Assembly with the resources of the Road User Fee Task Force. The expenditure contemplated by this bill is contained within ODOT's budget, and the committee support expenditure is contained within the Legislative Assembly's base budget. The Legislative Assembly is to provide committee support. In addition, the bill requires a driver to move a vehicle to the side of the highway and creates a Class C violation for not doing so under certain circumstances, and extends the beginning of the winter driving season from November 15th to November the 1st. The Transportation and Economic Development Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 566A be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Any discussion? Senator Berger.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I have a couple of questions. One is, where exactly does the money come from? It said the road user fee, does it come from a pilot program that was there? Does it come from funds that were set aside for the road user fee task force from the department?
I'm going to ask the professional staff to respond to that with more specificity.
Madam Chair, Senator Berger, I will have to get back to you on that. I'm not sure exactly where the road user fee task force or that money comes from.
Madam Chair, it comes from the Oregon Department of Transportation, but it would be just for administrative purposes, so I'm not just sure of the connection of the money. I'd appreciate it if you could get back to me. It's not enough to hold up the bill. I have two questions. One is, where's the money coming from? And the other is this the Joint Interim Committee on Transportation, or is there to be another committee for transportation and economic development in the interim? Can you answer that?
Madam Chair, Senator Berger, this does not establish a new committee. This is it does not. And I believe that the road user fee comes out of the highway fund.
I would appreciate you get back to me on that. All right, thank you, Matt. You bet.
Any other discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. Let's return to House Bill 3054, please. We had discussion on that earlier. Is there further discussion on that bill?
Maybe I should, Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator.
During the course of the committee, Senator Winters was a very strong proponent of this bill. She's worked closely with it, and she hasn't worked closely. It's in the Portland area, but she's trying to get it to come to the Salem area. It's been the testimony was very effective, and so I'll be supporting it.
Thank you for that, Senator. Any further discussion? Any objections? Senator Johnson. Senator Whitsitt. Motion. Oh, Representative Hannah, Representative Morgan. Motion carries. Colleagues, let's stand in recess for about 15 minutes, so 10 minutes, so people can read through the paperwork, and we'll come back.
About 6 minutes. Everyone, if I mean that, I amend your motion to 6 minutes unless the committee feels they require 10.
Six minutes. We're in recess till 6:45. Back to order, please. Joint Committee on Ways and Means on Thursday, June 21st. House Bill 3551, Representative Shields, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. House Bill 3551 imposes a new $15 fee for the recording of deed and mortgage records to augment funding for affordable housing programs. The fee is expected to generate $31.9 million in the 2007-09 biennium and $40.3 million in the 2009-11 biennium. House Bill 3551 specifies that revenue from the fee be paid over to the Housing and Community Services Department, which will use the funds as follows. 76.75% of the revenue be deposited to the Housing Development Account to fund affordable rental housing programs and assist local partners with building local capacity for housing projects. 13.25% of the revenue will be deposited to the Home Ownership Assistance Account for down payment and closing cost assistance and homeowner education, and 10% will be deposited to the emergency assistance account for programs to assist low-income Oregonians who are homeless or at risk of being homeless. The bill limits the amount of general operating and construction or rehabilitation costs that can be funded from revenue in the home ownership assistance account, specifies that minority households are among the individuals to be served by home ownership assistance programs, and directs that preference be given to applications from entities that support a comprehensive strategy to reverse decreasing rates of home ownership among racial and ethnic minorities. A total of $892,881, or 2.8% of the total, is recommended for administration of the estimated 30 to 40 new grants that will result annually from the funding generated by this bill. These resources will enable the department to maintain accountability through project review, underwriting, accounting for revenue and contract payments, and monitoring completed projects. The subcommittee adopted amendments to the bill to exempt warrants filed by the Employment Department for collection of unemployment insurance taxes or overpayment of benefits, thereby maintaining conformity with the Federal Unemployment Tax Act. Change the effective date of the bill from January 1, 2008 to the 91st day after adjournment of the legislature. Exempt copies of judgments, lien record abstracts, and satisfactions which are thought to account for 0.5% of document filings. These are documents that record a lien on real property owned by a judgment debtor when the property is in a different county than that in which the judgment was taken. And an amendment to provide sufficient other funds expenditure limitation to the Housing and Community Services Department to carry out the provisions of this bill. The department expects improvements in performance related to the additional investments in housing programs, including the following: development of an additional 291 housing units per year, an additional 431 households being provided with home ownership assistance, an additional 353 households provided with home ownership education, and a 4-6% increase in the number of minority households acquiring a loan through home ownership assistance. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends that House Bill 3551 be amended and reported out, do pass as amended.
Thank you, Representative. Is there any discussion? Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. A question to Carrier?
Please.
Yes. Thank you, Representative Shields. Was there a discussion in committee concerning developmental disabilities communities and the mental health communities? We had long discussions in Mental Health Caucus, which met every Thursday for the entire session, about the need for housing, low-income housing, especially for the mentally ill. And we had long discussions with people who were working this bill that would be part of it. I see in the bill the phrase special needs. I assume and hope to get on the record those special needs do include mentally ill, as well as the developmental disabilities communities.
Thank you for that question, Senator. I believe there was some discussion, but I don't recall the specifics, and I'm not sure if anyone else from the committee or any of the staff might want to comment on that.
Senator Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Actually, there was a very robust debate about it with respect to projects that the agency has in the pipeline and not being able to know exactly which projects for which targeted populations will come up, given that projects come together in different ways depending on financing structures or available projects to actually build. But I think that the record is very clear in the committee that there was ample discussion given to all kinds of different housing needs, whether they represented underserved populations in metropolitan areas, particularly minority home ownership, but also mentally ill, developmentally disabled. The discussion for senior housing, those projects that would require wraparound services versus freestanding units. So there was a very thoughtful discussion, and I think the committee came away satisfied that the agency had taken those accounts into they were concerned about those issues and would try to make sure that there was good geographic sweep to the projects that were built, as well as making sure that there was adequacy. There is an adequacy because there's not enough money, but that all of the populations looking for housing would be taken into consideration as they reviewed projects in their pipeline and developed new projects.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just want to get that on the record that there is a special need there and that this bill does have an opportunity at least to address that need.
Excellent. Thank you. Senator Schrader.
I just want to thank the people that helped make this possible by bringing this revenue source. That means a lot to the state of Oregon, and it's a long time coming to build our housing trust fund type of reservoir up for people to access of all different kinds of persuasion. So I really appreciate the people stepping up and helping provide a funding opportunity.
Thanks. And I've just been notified we're under a call of the House, so keep that in mind if you have further comments. Senator Johnson?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry to do this. Out of an abundance of caution, I'd like to declare conflict of interest. I'm on the board of directors of a community action team that develops affordable housing.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for all your service on those nonprofit boards. Any further discussion? Representative Shields.
Madam Co-Chair, thank you. Briefly, House Bill 3551 is one of the co-sponsors is the Oregon Council on Developmental Disabilities, so I would hope that they've had their say in that.
Thank you. Further discussion? Any objections? Senator Whitsitt. Representative Morgan, Representative Hanna, Representative Garrard. Motion carries. Thank you, colleagues. It is end of session, and we will be meeting again tomorrow, not at 8:30. So, do we have a time yet, Mr. Rocco?
Madam Chair, we're thinking the full committee will probably meet mid to late afternoon, and it's possible that the capital construction and bonding subcommittee will meet sometime mid-morning. We haven't posted that.
Just had to keep Saturday open for the same type of schedule, and the subcommittees will probably be no longer meeting at the stage of the game. I want to thank you all and thank them for their service.
Excellent. We're adjourned.